pressing on the upward way. Your heights I am taking every day. Still praying, yes, I am on the ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet to higher ground. My heart is no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Thou some may dwell, that is above. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high. Yes, amen. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam. But still I'll pray till heaven's I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's stable land. A higher that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stay. My feet on heaven's stable land. A higher land that I have found. On higher ground.
I'm sure that's your desire as well, saints, to greet you. Want to greet Nikki in Jesus' name. Nikki, welcome. It's nice to see you. Let's open 1 Corinthians, saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's just take a thought from there. Just come before the Lord. There's no better thing that anybody could ever do than to just wait upon the Lord, to yield yourself to Him. Just to give yourself into His hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read what Paul says from verse 14 up to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is reminding us, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a blessed potential in a believer. Let's also read John chapter 15, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus really does give us a wonderful principle once again. We can realize the privilege and the responsibility as believers that's been opened up to us. John 15, let's read verse 4 and verse 5. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Let's just bow our heads. Father, how our own personal testimony, Lord, has borne record of that truth. That, Lord Jesus, outside of you, we can do nothing. But in you, Lord, Father, even as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Father, that's why I've come upon this day. We just want to abide in you. We just want to yield ourselves unto you. We just want to give ourselves to you that you may bring forth your fruit. That fruit that glorifies you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Giving ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just to take a thought from here, just speaking from these verses, there's two different words that I was really, really meditating upon today. And the one was yielding and the other one was harmony. Because this one here really speaks to us. Jesus is speaking about yielding to the vine. Now, if you and I, as we said on Wednesday, if we could discern, as Paul has said, spiritually discern what is in the heart and mind of God in any time, in any season, in any situation, and could yield ourselves to Him, we'd be perfectly successful in all that we do. Now, you and I would never ever fail if we could somehow just get ourselves into that realm that Paul is saying, the mind of Christ. If you and I could somehow go and discern in ourselves, in our souls, in our spirits this evening, what is the will and what is the desire of God at this time? And then, you know, that's the first stage. It's fine to discern His will. It's fine to know His will. But the second thing is to get yourself in a harmony with His will. To get yourself in a condition that you can act out His will. Friends, what a blessing you would have. And what a blessing that you would be. What a blessing that we would be as the children of God. And Jesus is giving us that example because He says, He is the vine, we are the branches. And He says, Jesus Himself can bring forth no fruit. He's depending on us to bring forth the right fruit. So if we are really abiding in the vine, if we are tapped into Christ today, if you and I are in a harmony with Him, if we can be in a communion with Him, if we're fellowshipping with Him, if we're receiving the deep that is in Him in any sort of sense, and then we're getting ourselves out the way, like we said on Wednesday, because obviously the greatest enemy to you and I bringing forth the fruit of Christ is ourselves, is getting ourselves in the way. No, because sometimes it's not so hard to discern what the Lord desires or what God wants done. That's not maybe the difficult part, but sometimes it's yielding ourselves so that that will that we've discerned can work itself through us. Now that's going to take spiritual people to do that. And then as you grow and go in your Christian life, you realize that. You realize that the secret in Christianity is the ability to get yourself out the way. It's the ability to yield yourself to Him. The prophet says then He can do things that you and I could never dream about. He can do wonderful things. But it's this great principle of the inward man and the outward man. Who are we going to give the preeminence to? Now we're all born from the first Adam. No matter the color of our skin, no matter the language that we speak this evening, every single one of us can trace our genealogy, naturally speaking, back to Adam. Every single one of us are related here. You know, we've been in different climates, we've got different colors of skin, we've been in different countries since Babel, we've got different languages because of that. But every single one of us here outwardly can trace our natural birth, our genealogy back to the first Adam. And friends, if that's the man we're going to give preeminence to, we're in trouble. Because Adam put us in a lot of trouble. Adam caused all the trouble that we see and all the things we go through. It was because Adam gave preeminence to his own will. Remember Adam in the garden? Then we had the second Adam in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, anybody who's born again here this evening, you can trace your genealogy, your new birth, back to the second Adam. Back to Christ. So we can either yield ourselves to the first Adam, and friends, we're going to bring forth the same fruits the first Adam did. Or we can yield ourselves, if we're born again, there's the potential in us. Something has been activated in us through the new birth that God has put in us the potential to yield ourselves now to the will of the second Adam, and His works are perfect. His works never fail. The Bible says He does all things well. Remember at the feast of Cana there when there was no wine and they came to Mary and asked, what should we do? And she gave real good advice. It says, whatever he says, do. And that's the key. Is whatever he says, do. But friends, this is where the kingdoms in conflict come in. Is that there's going to be the inward man. And there's going to be the outward man. And whenever circumstances rises up, whenever temptation rises up, whatever situation rises up, each and every one of us being free moral agents, we can give ourselves over to harmony with either of those two Adams that we're associated with. And the fruits that you bring forth will show which Adam that you're given preeminence to. If we give preeminence to the outward man, if we give preeminence to the flesh, we're going to bring forth the fruits of the flesh. As we said on Wednesday, no matter how religiously we may dress it up, and no matter how many quotes we can quote and scriptures we can say, a tree is known by its fruits. You can tell who somebody is fellowshipping with, who someone is giving preeminence to by the fruits that they bring forth. If we're giving preeminence to the inside man, the new birth, we're going to see it by our fruits. We're going to bring forth the fruits of redemption. We're going to bring forth the fruits of Christ. We're going to bring forth the fruits of the kingdom that is above. But if we are yielding ourselves and giving preeminence now to this man, the outward man, we're going to bring forth the fruits of the outward man. We're going to bring forth envy. We're going to bring forth anger. We're going to bring forth unforgiveness. We're going to bring forth all of the fruits of the natural man if we yield ourselves, get ourselves into harmony, and give preeminence to the natural man. Now, we being in the middle of this spiritual warfare, these two kingdoms, obviously the kingdom of God is trying to influence our inward man. And he's trying to bring us into a harmony with himself. He's trying to feed us. He's trying to lead us. He's trying to nourish us inwardly so that we can bring forth the fruits of his kingdom. But there's the devil as well. The devil also wants to work on us. He wants to work on the outward man. He wants to work on your reasoning, your memory, your feelings, your emotions. He wants to bring things to your remembrance of what happened in the past and all those kind of things. And what the devil tries to do, he plays on that outward man to try to get you to yield to him. So that's where this great, great battle comes in. It's which one are we going to yield ourselves to? Now, to the genuine believer, you only have satisfaction in one thing. And that's yielding yourself to the inward man. And friends, when the inward man has preeminence, the born-again man, he's going to express the attributes of Christ every single time. He's going to bring forth the Word because he is the Word. If you're born again, that attribute in you is the Word. And the new birth, when Christ came and revealed himself to your soul, something came to life. The inside man came to life. And you now have the potential in you to express God. To express the attributes of God. To express the attributes of redemption. But we're holding this treasure in an earthen vessel. So the outward man, now he doesn't want that. Now when somebody steps on his toes, he wants to take vengeance. He wants to step on that person's toes in exchange. When somebody smites you on the cheek, he doesn't want to give the other cheek, like Jesus said. He wants to glorify himself. But the inward man wants to glorify Christ. So that's now where we find ourselves, friends, as believers many, many times. Who are we going to glorify? Who are we going to glorify? Depends on who we're going to yield ourselves unto. If we're going to allow this inward man to express himself and have the preeminence, every time we're going to glorify Christ. He's going to be glorified in the way we behave, in the way that we act, in the decisions that we make. Because people are going to see Christ in us. People are going to see a reflection of the attributes of redemption being expressed through us. But if we come expressing the outward man, who's going to be glorified? We're going to glorify ourselves. And by glorifying ourselves, indirectly we're glorifying the devil, because it's the influence of Satan upon us to cause us to behave like that. And we find that right the way through the Bible. So we're going to have to be a prayerful kind of a people. Because as we said on Wednesday, you can only overcome yourself through prayer. And you can tell people that are prayerful. You can see it by what they reflect. by the fruits that a person brings forth. You can tell it's impossible for someone to bring forth this kind of a life without prayer. You can tell it. And that person may not have to say anything. They may not have to justify themselves, stand in front of you and say anything at all. But you can just see by the spirit somebody is in, and you can see by their motive and objective and what they're bringing forth, that this is a prayerful kind of a person. Because prayer enables you to get yourself out the way. Prayer subdues the outward man. Prayer now puts you in communion with the Most High, and now you can draw the resources from the vine, and you can bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. So you'll always see it quite clearly. And that's why the prophet, he says it in the message, the healing of Jairus' daughter. He expresses it so well. Now he's speaking about Jesus going to raise up Jairus' daughter, and then he says, but in the previous chapter, he says, we find where the Son of God spent so much time in prayer. Now we know this quote. He says, but if Jesus, and if Jesus had to spend much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him, how much more do you and I have to spend in prayer? So in order for Jesus to continue to express not the attributes of the outward man, because Jesus was born, could be tempted, he had to die, the outward man. But in order for Jesus to continue to express redemption, in order for Jesus to stay in harmony with his Father and to continually express attributes that glorified God, that people would see the life of Christ and the way they behave. Now friends, there was never a person who was reproached and abused and went through things like Jesus did. From when he was born, and they called his birth illegitimate. Even before he was born, he bore reproach. When he was in his mother's womb, they said his father's a Samaritan and he has a devil. There was never a man who they tried to trap and trick and catch him in his words and question him and do all the manner of things that they did. Apart, like Jesus, there never was a man who went through what Jesus went through. You have a look every day of his life. But there was never a man who glorified God like Jesus did. There never was. Because he stayed in harmony with the Spirit that was in him. There was a harmony between the Father and the Son, the prophet says. And then the prophet doesn't stop there in the church ages. He says, and that harmony now is to exist between Christ and his bride and his church. So we have the potential in us, friends, to walk in perfect harmony with God. If we feed the inner man. If we allow ourselves, like Jesus had to, we stay in fellowship with the Spirit that is in us. Through prayer, through the Word, through communion. Through fellowshipping one with another. Feeding the inward attribute, the inside man. We're going to bring forth these attributes that harmonize with the will of God. Whatever his desire is, we're going to automatically bring forth the will of God. That's all that we have to do. So the prophet says, much time in prayer. If you only knew what time in prayer meant. Sometimes when you're in prayer, God changes the complete destination of things that's going to happen. My friends, what a powerful potential we have in us. If we are willing to glorify God, no matter the circumstances, those the attribute, the seed that is in us, and that seed which has been brought forth by the new birth, and now the Holy Ghost, the unction which is upon that seed. If we can just allow that to express itself, and prayer is one of the channels of allowing him to express himself, we can completely change the destination of things. That when the devil proposed a certain something, just through prayer, instead of something ending up glorifying the devil, it's going to end up glorifying the kingdom. Every single time. Every single time, friends. And I can witness of that countless times, and you can witness of that as well. But what is the key? Getting in fellowship with the Spirit that is in you. Allowing now yourself to really abide in the vine so that you can draw the resources of the vine and you're going to bring forth the fruits of the vine, which is the fruits of the kingdom. You cannot do this yourself. That's why Paul says the things of the Spirit of the kingdom are spiritually discerned. The natural man knows nothing about these things. The natural man just knows about revenge. The natural man just knows about glorifying himself, making a name for himself, being a big person in the neighborhood, showing that you're somebody. But the inward man wants to be nobody. The inward man wants him to be everybody. You want to express him. You want to glorify him. And that's when you can tell someone's born again, because the innermost heart's desire of the born again is to glorify Christ. It's for Christ to be reflected. It's for the attributes of Christ to be revealed through you. So when a person looks at you, as it was in the book of Acts, they may look at you as disciples and say, surely these people have been with Jesus. That you don't have to claim something yourself, but that someone can see, but these people have been with Jesus. The prophet speaks it in that message, Harry's voice, and he says, you know, I've said it before, he says, my wife was sitting next to one of those Amish women last night. And she came and said to me after, said, Bill, you could tell that woman had been with Jesus. You could tell. She was just in a certain spirit. You could just tell by the says you could see it in her eyes. You could see it on her face. This woman had shut herself in and had spent time with Jesus. Oh, friends, what a wonderful kind of thing that would be if the majority of the body, because let's remember, friends, the body of Christ is a spiritual body. So anything we need to deal with isn't flesh and blood. We can't deal with things on the level of flesh and blood. This is a spiritual body, Paul says, knitted together. So our dealings with one another, if you want the body to function the way that Christ wants it to function, it's going to be spiritual dealings with one another. We're going to have to be dealing in a certain spiritual realm. You can't use the principles of management that they teach you at work, although some of them have some truth in them. We can't govern ourselves by psychology and those things that they'll teach you and how to do these things. The natural man, the carnal man, the things of God are foolishness to him. Imagine Jesus, them smiting him with rods, covering his face, and saying, if you are a prophet, if you're the Messiah, prophesy now who smote you. And the prophet says he knew exactly who was smiting him. But the Bible says he answered them not a word. To the world, they look at that. That's foolishness. How can a man not defend himself? How can a man not show who he really is? But he was in harmony with his father. And he did nothing until his father showed him first. But friends, that is power. The prophet says that is true power. That's true authority. He says, that is the real anointing, he says. He says it's authority under control. When a person can control themselves in that way. And friends, the only time you ever know whether you can control yourself isn't when things are going well. It's when you put to the test. That's when you find out who you really are. Not the easy times, but when it's time when you test the reaction to an action. And it brings circumstances and situations where things are backwards and things aren't going the way that you want and things are against you and you're feeling, but what's going on here? That's the time, friends. That's the time where you need to allow yourself to get back in harmony with the Spirit that is in you. So He can express Himself at that time. And it's going to be completely contrary to the world. That's why the prophet says sometimes when you're in prayer, God changes the complete destination of different things that's going to happen. Might be something fixing to happen, and your prayer could change the whole situation. Amen. He says, you remember, you might say, well, if God knows what's going to happen, what good will my prayer do? You remember when He stood there looking on the harvest. He was the Lord of the harvest. And He said, the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. You pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. He says, but He was the Lord of the harvest. But Jesus was saying to them, you pray to me to do what I know is the right thing to you to do. He says, because part of it lays in human beings. You see, by coming into this relationship through the new birth, this relationship where we can have fellowship with Him and harmony with Him, God has also given us the responsibility of partnership with Him. That He is the vine and we are the branches, that there's certain things that He cannot do. He has now bound Himself in a covenant relationship with us, that in order for Him to really express Himself, It's going to take us to be in His hands to allow Him to express Himself. And that's where God has like risked the things in a way, if you could see it. He's risked His own reputation by binding Himself in a covenant with us and saying, I'm going to do nothing outside of you. Because if we are going to want to glorify ourselves, His reputation's going to suffer. Because He's waiting for us to get ourselves in a certain condition so that He can reveal Himself, so that His name can be glorified. But that's based on our free will. On who do we want to give the preeminence to on a daily basis inside of our lives? Friends, if we want to be big shots, if we want to be people that hold this, that, and the other against other people, we can do it. God's never going to force us to let something go. He's never. He's never going to force us to forgive somebody. He's never going to force us to have long suffering over somebody. God doesn't deal with us on that basis. The entire principle of the kingdom is free will, free moral agency. So we're going to have to make a conscious decision in ourselves to say, I want Him to be glorified. Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. That's the decision that we're going to have to make. And friends, if you want the real blessings of Christ in your soul, that's the key. It's those kind of decisions at those kind of times that bring forth a full blessing in the life of a person. And it's those kind of decisions when we make them wrong that gets us in trouble with God. At those kind of junctions in time, we need to be prayerful saints to allow the inward man to have the preeminence, to allow the inward man to express himself. And friends, then we get divine favor. That's when the blessings of God come down. But at those kind of times, friends, based on the decision that you make at that time, there's two things that can happen. If you make the right decision to say, not my will, but Thy will be done, there comes spiritual promotion. God will take you to the next level of your spiritual life. But if at that kind of a time you determine to say, no, I'm going to do it my way, you're going to bring yourself into hardship, and God's going to have to take you all around and bring you back to that same position once again at some time until you overcome. Because God wants to raise you up in the realm of sonship. But it's based on these kind of junctions and these kind of decisions. These are what make and break you, friends, as a believer. If you want the fullness of spiritual adoption, of hear ye him, it's these kind of decisions, these kind of handling of things inside of your life. These are the ones that determine it, saints. Not the ones when everything's going well. You know, when the sky is blue and there's no waves on the sea, you know, and the boat is just cruising along. But it's when the storms come. That's when the rain is beating down and the wind is blowing and you wonder, but where's the Lord? He told us to send the boat out. He said He was going to go into the mountain to pray. Now, what do we need to do here? It's those kind of times, friends, that you really reveal who you are. And at those kind of times, like we said on Wednesday, shut yourself in the secret closet and allow the inward man to have the preeminence. That's the key. So the prophet finishes off. He says, part of it lays in human beings. Do you believe that? He says, the kingdom of God lays within the human being. Don't put it away from yourself. The kingdom of God lays in us, friends. It's nowhere else in this place today. The kingdom is in you and the kingdom is in me. And in order for His kingdom to be known, we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. But it's based on our decision. It's based on a yieldedness, a surrender, a spiritual bringing ourselves into a harmony with the desire of God in that season, the purpose that God has at that time. That's how His kingdom can come. That's how His kingdom can be manifest. That's how His name can be declared amongst the nations, amongst the peoples. Only one way. It's through you and I, because the kingdom of God lays in us. He says, Jesus said in one place, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine cannot bear fruit. The branches in the vine bear fruit. So you and I have to bring forth the fruit. Christ now, today, He can't bring forth the fruit. He had His 33 and a half years when He could come. The seed was sown into the earth and brought forth the fruits of the kingdom for 33 and a half years. Now he's been raised to the majesty on high. Now the seed is in this earth. In order for the vine to be able to express what it is. It's through the branches now. It's through us. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are the expression of who he is. If we desire to be. If we can put ourselves in that place. That's why the prophet says, God cannot bear fruit of himself. It's got to take the church. Is that right? He's got to take you branches to bear fruit. And when you branches are yielded to the vine, then the fruit comes forth. Amen. Ah, friends, that's the key. The whole key in your Christian life is yielding yourself. The prophet says in the seals, he says, what is the key? All the church has to do is yield itself to the anointing. Yield itself to the anointing. Now, let's bring it a bit closer home, friends, on this. You find in Malachi chapter 1, Malachi says, the burden of the word of the Lord unto Malachi. The burden of the word of the Lord. So you find Malachi being a prophet. He got himself into a place where he felt burdened. And you know why he felt burdened? If you read the book of Malachi. Amen. Because Jehovah was burdened at that time. Amen. Because of the condition of the people. You go and read God's complaining against what the people were doing in the book of Malachi. The priests and the way people bring in sacrifices that weren't worthy and so forth. So God had a burden in himself at that time. The Lord looked down on his people and he was burdened. There was a deep in God. He just was feeling, no, this shouldn't be like this. So what did he do? He found someone who was yielded to him, who was his prophet, Malachi. And he came down to Malachi and says, Malachi, you and I in partnership. I'm looking for someone who can share my burden. And then the burden of the word of the Lord, the weight, the burden of that word came down upon Malachi. And all of a sudden, Malachi finds himself feeling in a way that he didn't feel before. What is he now? He's in harmony with Jehovah. He's now feeling the way that God felt about things at that time. And friends, if you and I are going to do anything right, we've got to feel the way that God feels about it. We've got to be able to let the burden of the word of the Lord come upon us. We've got to be able to come into that harmony that if the Lord is wanting to do something at a certain time, wanting to express something at a certain time, friends, you and I have to have that ability to move into that place. And again, it means we've got to get ourselves out the way, the natural man, because it's the spiritual man. The inside man has the potential to feel about things the way that God feels about things. And surely, friends, if you and I are walking in some kind of a harmony, yes, the outer man's always going to pull this way and that. But if your inside man and my inside man are in harmony with God, how can you and I not be in harmony with one another? Friends, that's where the key comes in. If you and I cannot harmonize with each other, at least one of us is not in harmony with God. That's the key. That's the truth. Now, I can't answer for you. You can't answer me. My responsibility is just to make sure that I'm not the guilty party. I need to make sure that I'm in harmony with God. Now, if you choose that you don't want to be in harmony with God, well, I'm just going to have an extra portion of long-suffering to wait and to pray and to seek and say, Lord, please, let my brother, let my sister come in harmony with you as well, because I want to be in a real harmony with them. But it needs us to be in harmony with Him. The burden of the Lord needs to be upon us. We need to be... The deep that is in God needs to be able to reflect itself in us. You go and look in the life of Moses. When God came down in the book of Exodus, God had a burden. God had heard the groans of his people. He had seen the afflictions of his people. He saw what was taking place down there in Egypt. And God was burdened. So what does he do? He comes down in the burning bush. And he tries to find someone that he can put the burden of the Lord upon. And now he's taken this man, Moses, 40 years backside of the desert, beaten all the self out of this man. All the self-confidence, all his own ways of doing things that he leaned on in the days of his youth when he tried to do the work of the Lord using his own strength and slew an Egyptian and buried him in the sand and failed in the things of God. But now he's got a vessel that God has prepared now. Here's a man, because Jehovah in every generation is seeking a man, one man that he can find who will completely yield into the hands of God. And God will do his will. In any generation, the prophet says, if God can just find one man, one woman, one boy, one girl, who will fully yield themselves into the hands of God. And here now, the material, Moses has been shaped by the potter. He's molded him and he's shaped him, and now he's a vessel of honor now. And the Lord comes down now in the burning bush, and Moses is attracted, and Moses comes now into that great anointed presence of the Shekinah. And Moses is yielded, and Moses is broken, and Moses now is a surrendered sort of a vessel. And what does the Lord do now? He takes the burden that he feels for his people, and he lays it upon Moses. And he says, Moses, I've heard the cries of my people, I've seen their suffering, and I've come down. And Moses, I'm sending you. Hey, and the fruits to show that man had been in the Shekinah presence of God is he went down and he bore the burdens of the people. Amen. He did. He was so long-suffering. He was patient and all of that. That wasn't the old Moses. No. That wasn't just the natural man, the son of Amram and Joshebed. No. It wasn't. That was now the divine attribute that God put into the soul of a man. And when that divine attribute, God had shaped the man, and that divine attribute came into the Shekinah presence of God, something came forth that expressed Christ. Amen. The prophet says that was Christ in Moses. Amen. That now gave this man an ability to throw himself in the gap between God and a sinful people. Because Moses was feeling what God was feeling. And now in the life of this man, in that tabernacle of clay, what did we see the reflection of? The redemptive attributes of Jehovah. And you could look at Moses and you can say, but God is wonderful. My, this man is shining forth the glory of God. And look at the way the man conducts himself. The people are murmuring against him. The people are saying, let's stone this man. Away with this man, Moses. And Moses comes down there and he finds him. What are they doing? Bowing down before a golden calf. What does Moses do? Is this the old Moses? It's not. He comes to the people in the end. Yes, he disciplined them, but he comes to the people and he says, I'm going to go and make intercession for you. Perhaps if some way the Lord can forgive you for what you've done. And then Moses goes back up into the very presence of the thunder and the lightning, God coming down on Sinai and the law, the justice, the judgment of God being revealed. And Moses goes right up into that presence again and says, Lord, please, please forgive them. Please. And Lord, please, if that's what it's going to take, blot my name out of the book that you've written. Friends, that's why the prophet says that wasn't Moses, that was Christ in Moses. Now friends, I'm sure you don't want to see Andrew. You want to see Christ in Andrew. I don't want to see Wilmore. I don't want to see Tony. I want to see Christ in Tony. I want to see Christ in Lily. I want to see Christ in Sister Dube, Brother Dube, Brother Max or Brother George. The world wants to see Christ in us. And especially in those junctions of time where Satan is trying to come to bring us into a harmony with him. So he can sow discord and he can sow different things. Friends, we don't need to get into harmony with that spiritual realm. We need to move into harmony with the other spiritual realm. So that we can express the divine attributes that are in us. That the Holy Ghost is going to quicken because we are his seed that is sown into this generation. So he can glorify himself. So that his name can be expressed, his attributes, who God really is. Not this denominational Jesus, which is a false Jesus. Not this Catholic Jesus, which is a false Jesus. But the real Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to be expressed, friends. And we are the branches. He's the vine. And all the prophet says we've got to do is just yield ourselves unto the vine. Then he can reveal himself. Now, Moses didn't always stay like that. That's the sad thing about it. Moses went through so much when they came. We know the story well. And they wanted to take the priesthood away from Aaron. And the multitude came and gathered. And Moses and Aaron were standing in the door of the tabernacle. And the Shekinah glory came down. And Moses could sense in himself being in a harmony with Jehovah that Jehovah wasn't satisfied. Jehovah was angry at that time. Moses threw himself on his face, the Bible says. Intercession. And then something kicked in Moses, and he says, Aaron, go and take the censer, and go and make an atonement for the people. Friends, that's not natural for people to behave like that. That's Christ in people to behave like that. That's something that really glorifies the name of Jehovah when people act like that. But you find as it went further and further in the life of Moses, let's look in Numbers chapter 20. Let's just remind ourselves of the great mistake that Moses made at the end. What kept him from going into the promised land. Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Who had preeminence now? It was the outward man. Moses had allowed the fusses and the stews of the people and the way they treated him now to so affect him. And I don't know what happened in his life at that time, but he got away from the place that he was reflecting the Shekinah glory. This wasn't a reflection of the Shekinah glory anymore. This wasn't Moses who had to veil his face because he was shining forth with the glory of God. This was the outward man that had a preeminence. And God says, Moses, the people need water. They're murmuring again. Go and stand and speak to the rock. And the prophet says, God was trying to show the power of the spoken word. That's what he wanted, that Christ was smitten once. The rock had already been smitten chapters before. Now God was trying to show a type of the gospel of Calvary. The rock's been smitten. Now Christ never has to be smitten again. Now we speak to the rock. We speak to him and he brings forth his waters. But Moses moving because of his own personal attributes, his anger, his frustration, whatever it was at that time, Moses allowed the outward man to take control. And he knew the will of God. He knew the deep that God had in him. And Jehovah had revealed it to him and said, Moses, please go and speak to the rock. It's important to me. One day you'll understand why I'm asking you to do this. And instead, Moses gave preeminence not to his will, Jehovah, but to his own will. And he went up there and says, I'm going to show these people. I'm tired of this now. And he took the judgment rod, which is the word, friends, the judgment rod, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of using that judgment rod, which he had used all along to glorify Jehovah and his name, so that Jehovah could be revealed and Jehovah could be magnified at the Red Sea and at the Meribah and all those places, he takes that rod and he smites the rock. He says, must we bring forth water for you, you rebels? And the prophet says he smote the rock once and the water didn't come. And he says, I'll show you. And he took the rod and he smote it again. And the water came forth. Look what it says there. Verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand. And with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank and the beast also. But look at the consequences. Verse 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. Now the prophet in making a valley full of ditches says, Moses glorified himself instead of glorifying God. And that's why he wasn't permitted to go in. Oh, friends, these kind of decision times, when these things are put in your hands, how are you going to behave? What are you going to do? Be careful, friends. Be careful. There's a lot of expectation of heaven upon us at these kind of times. Because nothing happens to believers by chance. No matter what happens, it's been ordained. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. It's God wanting to test the reaction to an action. Maybe he wants to promote us spiritually. He wants to raise us up to a higher level, whatever it is. But he's going to put us to the test first and then say, who are you going to glorify at this time? Are you going to glorify yourself? Are you going to take my word? Are you going to take the rod? You're going to take the resources that I've given to you and use them so you can show that you're somebody. so that you can express the desires of the outward man? Or are you going to yield yourself like you used to, Moses, and let Christ be revealed and sanctify my name, and let people look at what you're doing and glorify me because of your conduct and your behavior? But it's all based on free will, saints. God is never going to force us to those kind of times. He's going to present the two ways before us. I present before you the ways of death, and I present before you the ways of life. Why will you not choose life and live, O Israel? And to any believer, your soul knows what it desires. And if you find in those kind of times that the outward man has too much preeminence, that's why we say, sometimes you need to starve the outward man. Sometimes you need to just lay aside food and drink for a season and lay yourself in the presence of the Son and say, Lord, this carnality that wants to express itself, the self-will that wants to express itself, Lord, I'm laying it upon the altar. Let your life, the life of the Lamb himself, let the fire of God, the Shekinah presence of God, come and consume this from me. Burn this dross out of me, that I may glorify you in this, Lord, that I may act in harmony with you. That, Father, when you look at the end of this, you will say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. Yayim. Yayim. Is that not what you design any trial, friends? Amen. Is to come to a spiritual promotion. Amen. Now, let's bring it to the prophet, to a situation we know well. I won't get into it much. But it's in the message, Speak to This Mountain. 1959, 27 November. Just after the squirrels, yeah? The spoken word. It just manifests itself. And this principle is so tied together with the spoken word, with the third pool, friends, that you can never separate them. You'll always find the same thing. The prophet didn't speak to this mountain. No, he speaks about him and Brother Fred. We know the story. They were in Vermont. They were out hunting. He went with Brother Fred to show the place in Hurricane Mountain where, when he went on his honeymoon, remember when the storm came down and the prophet had got lost and Sister Mita had almost perished because the prophet thought that he was a guide and could never get lost and so forth. He says, I went to show Brother Fred the place. And he says, and while I was speaking with Brother Fred, the angel of the Lord spoke to me and said, separate yourself. I want to talk to you. Amen. Friends, that's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Separate yourself. Be careful. Then he says, so I went out into the woods. He says, and the Lord spoke to me and said, there's a trap set for you. Hallelujah. Be careful what you say. Amen. Be careful what you say. Watch out. And the prophet says, I went to the meeting that night and I announced it in the church. And I said, please, the Lord has revealed to me that there's a trap set for me. And he's warned me to be careful what I say. Now, don't forget, this is in Speak to This Mountain, because, friends, you ain't going to get a spoken word out of a mouth that gossip is coming out of. Amen. You're not going to get spoken word coming out of a mouth that's just recently been condemning people and speaking against this, that, and the other. It's not going to happen. And the prophet says, it happened the next night. He says, and the devil brought those two young people in. And they started kissing and making love at the back of the meeting. And I kept saying to them, please, you people, that this is the service of the Lord. If you want to do that, go and do that at your home, but not here. You're disturbing the preaching. He says, and the deacons tried to warn them and whatever that it was. And he says, and the young man just looked at me and laughed. He says, and then the anointing came down. And the voice said, they're in your hands. Do with them what you desire. What you desire. He says, something said to me, say what you will, and it'll be done. I stood there. Mr. Mercier, the tape boy, and all of them standing, Brother Fred, and many of them standing present, the perspiration was just running from me. They're not easy times, friends. Not easy times. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? You know what you're supposed to do? Give preeminence to the inward man. That's what you're supposed to do. Something said, say blindness, and they'll be blind. Death, they'll pack them out of the building. Say what you will. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. And it left me, that anointing. I thought, God, what must I do? And I turned and I looked there. And the young boy's face was white because they could all feel that anointing when it came down. He was looking at me and I thought, what must I say? Then I turned and it looked like before I knew what I said, I said, I forgive you of your act. I forgive you of your act. Friend, that's the expression of redemption. Mercy, forgiveness, grace. This is magnifying, sanctifying the name of the Lord. That's how you sanctify His name, when you allow redemption to come from the vine through the branches and display the fruits of redemption. Imagine that. And then he says, it must have been just the right thing to say. It was God trying the reaction on an action. That night it was revealed to me that I'd said the right thing. And I knew that it was leading to something. But what was it? You see, he's speaking on the spoken word. That happened just a few months before the squirrels. And the prophet says the Lord was testing me. Because the Lord wanted to give him a spiritual promotion to take him deeper into the mysteries of redemption. Deeper into the mystery of the age that we're living in, friends. But before he could take him there, he had to bring him to that kind of a situation to see what he would do. The father's taken a son and he wants to adopt him. So he puts him under the tutor first. And the tutor's going to put him to the test to see how's he going to react. Is he going to do it his own way? Or is he going to do it like his father does it? And if he reacts the way that his father would have done it, his father says, that's my boy. That's a chip off the old block. And he takes that boy and he's proud of that boy now. And he calls the mayor and he calls all the dignitaries of the town and makes a great feast. Takes the young boy to the top of the hill in front of the great crowd of witnesses. And says, this boy, he's my son. His name on the check is the same as mine. When he speaks, I back up what he says. Can you see where the spoken word comes in, friends? It's those kind of times, those kind of junctions. And Moses failed at that time. Speaking, the prophet says, of the weakness of the law, it was going to pass away. And the prophet, picking that up, says, you know, you have to watch with a divine gift what you do with it. Remember what Moses did. So the prophet links it straight to that. He says, remember what Moses did with his divine gift. I must have said the right thing. I forgive you. For you know, John, young John, wanted to burn up Samaria one time because they wouldn't feed him. We're speaking about on a Wednesday. And John wanted to call fire from heaven, bring in all the quotes of the prophet, the quotes from the scriptures. But Elijah burned 50 people at a time. Lord, let's call fire from heaven. They don't want to feed you. They don't want to receive you. And the prophet says, Jesus said, you don't know what kind of a spirit you have. And friends, we need to remember what kind of a spirit we have. We have royal seed in there. And we need to allow royal seed to express the attributes of the king. But it's so much easier, friends, to allow the outward man to express himself. The attributes of your father and your mother and your genealogy, your grandmother, your grandfather, your temper, your stubbornness, your unforgiveness. It's so much easier to yield and give in and allow the flesh to express itself and to satisfy yourself through the works of the flesh, like Moses did. And a great opportunity for spiritual promotion passes you by. And heaven like looks at you and the wings of the angels go down and say, ah, that's not the way that it was supposed to have been. He wasn't supposed to have reacted like that. But imagine when it's like it on the other side. When the angels, because friends, the angels surround us. They're sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. They long to look into the things of redemption, the Bible says. They're watching how the Lord's dealing with us. They're seeing. They don't fully understand because they're servants, we're sons. But they can see God has set his hearts upon these people. God is investing so much in them. He's training them. He's shaping them. He's speaking to them. He's anointing them. He's molding them. And then they see something building up to a climax, and all the angels are gathering around, and they're watching now when the Lord puts you to the test. And the angels are saying, if they can only do it, if you can just hold out, if she can just hold out, she can do it. And then the test comes, and you say the right thing, and you express Christ. Amen. Friends, I believe there's rejoicing among the angels. They say, wonderful, wonderful. And how much in your own soul? Like when Abraham came down from the mount, I believe that must have been one of the most blessed experiences when he came down with Isaac from the mount. Oh, friends, that fellowship and communion you have with Christ when you've overcome yourself. When you've been put to the test, like I'd go and sacrifice your son that you've waited for 25 years, that all your expectation, all of your hope, your future's in this young boy. Because it pleases me, Abraham. You go and you take the knife. You don't let somebody else do it. You go and plunge the knife, the sacrificial knife, into the bosom of your own son. Do you think it was easy, friends? But look at the blessing that came. When the Lord caught his hand and said, Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make your name so great. I'm going to bless you with the riches of blessings. Because now I know that you love me. You love me above yourself, above your own desires, above your own ambitions and thoughts and purposes and plans. You love me. Friends, what a blessing. What a spiritual blessing. Let's just finish off and come to a time of prayer. Jesus said, you don't know what kind of a spirit you are. The Son of Man came to save life. Amen. They weren't under the dispensation of the prophets now. Moses was the law. Elijah was the prophet. That's why Elijah had to do what he did, to show the justice of God. That was the season, the dispensation that Elijah lived in. But now it was the dispensation of the Son of Man, friends. And he says the Son of Man didn't come to destroy people's lives like that. The Son of Man has come to save lives. No matter how they've behaved, the Son of Man's come to save lives. Don't call fire down from heaven upon those people. He says, them scriptures just get pouring over all night. I didn't sleep. But that was a trap set that Satan would get me all worked up and make me say the wrong thing. Ah, friends, it's so easy, those things, yeah? That's how the moment you see yourself getting all worked up, call a halt, shut the door. Amen. Close this venomous weapon here. Shut yourself in your inner chamber. Get yourself subdued before the Lord. Wait for fresh instructions from on high. Let the inner man express himself. Amen. And see the blessing that will come forth. The prophet says, I began to notice from then on that a relief came. And I began to notice different things that I would speak unconsciously, not knowing what I said. It would happen that way. And that was leading him to the third pillar. But it all came back to that kind of a situation. I'll finish just now with this part of the quote that we know so well from the Great Commission. When the prophet speaks of taking a man to pray before God. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we know it well. But the prophet's speaking about, it's really interesting how he takes this quote. He says, when a man has done you wrong. So at first it's a man. You don't feel that person any closer to you than a man. He says, and then you get yourself before the Lord in prayer. And you speak to the Lord about that person. You say, Lord, this man's done me evil. I don't know why he's done me evil. He says, then you let the Lord go speaking to you. And then he says, and then you'll start feeling sorry for that brother. You see, you've gone into prayer not feeling it's my brother, because the natural man, the outward man, has preeminence. But once you come into the Shekinah presence of God, and Christ starts to express himself, and the attributes of the inward man now start getting anointed by the unction of genuine prayer and communion, you start saying, it's my brother. It's not just a man, it's my brother. And listen, I'll just take the one part. He says, then let God go to talking to you. Amen. If we would just allow God to talk to us before we would talk to people many times, friends. It would make such a difference. He says, just let God go talking to you. And you will see maybe what that man's been through. Amen. There's always other circumstances, friends. There's always two sides to every story. And we know that. There always is. And you and I, friends, it's so easy for us to judge. Just with natural judgment. But when you get yourself in the presence of God, and God starts speaking to you, He says, the Lord, now what's happening? Let's just tie it all together. If God is looking down upon this particular person who's done you evil, God is burdened. God doesn't want it to be like that. God understands that situation perfectly. He does. But you and I, before we go and take it before the Lord, we don't understand that situation perfectly. We just know one side. We just know the memories of the past. We just know all the attributes of the outward man. The frustrations and all these kind of things. And it's easy at that time to feed upon those things. And you're feeding the outward man. But God is looking for you to come into a harmony with Him at that time. Because God, in this story, the prophet's saying, when you go to pray, God hasn't given up on this person yet. You might have given up. I might have given up, but God hasn't. So God is trying to bring us into a harmony with Him. And He's saying to us, like He said to the prophet, come aside and talk to me a while. Come and talk to me. And then He sees us, we're going on like bulls. And the Lord is speaking in the soul saying, stop. Come and speak to me about this issue a little bit, please. There's a trap set for you. Be careful what you say. And friends, if you have enough spiritual discernment at that time, you'll stop and you'll say, hey, let me go and speak to Papa a little bit because Papa wants to speak to me. And you'll go now into the presence of the Shekinah. You'll go in prayer. And at first you've got all these ideas and all these reasons and you've got all these things you're going to say to the Lord why this person needs to be condemned. And the prophet says, and you'll go and you'll say to the Lord, you'll say, Lord, I don't understand my brother why he did this evil to me. Lord, it's not right. It's so easy, friends. He says, but then let God go speaking to you. You know, when I was across with Brother Alex Ukeni, when I was preaching on the Sunday, I said it when I got back, but it was really strange the way that it worked. I never understood, but I was just in the middle of preaching about standing in the gap, and then I got onto that topic of putting people in the hands of the devil. And I don't know why I did it, but I just got onto that topic and I said, you know, I was speaking with Brother Alexei once in Latvia, one minister, about putting people in the hands of the devil. And he says, I've never yet put someone in the hands of the devil. He says, because virtually every time I've investigated the cases when people were put in the hands of the devil, he says, I found out that the minister had a big part to play in causing that person to behave like that. So you provoke. And then while I was preaching to Brother Alex, I just took the scripture. It came to me straight. I said, the Bible says, you fathers, provoke not your sons to anger. I said, what we do many times, we provoke our sons. Then they rebel against us. Then we want to bring divine discipline upon them. Yet if you really trace the issue back, it's not as clear cut as it looks. There's culpability on both sides. So then after the service, I didn't know why he was very quiet, and he came to me after the service and he has his two sons. And he said, brother, I just want to speak to you. He said, I've got my two sons, they're at the university. He says, they're not going the ways of the Lord. He says, my wife went to pick them up this morning and they didn't even want to come for service. He says, and there was one deacon from Trinidad, that brother, and he says, I was just speaking to this brother last week about putting people in the hands of the devil. He says, and that brother from Trinidad, the deacon, was so worried I was going to put my sons in the hands of the devil that he was phoning me, pleading with me, saying, Brother Alex, please. And he says, and then you came and you preached, and he just came straight onto that topic and says, you fathers, don't provoke your sons. You know, there's always circumstances. The best thing to do, stand in the gap, like Job's priesthood. Get yourself in the ministry of the priesthood. And God will start speaking to you and start showing you that you are not innocent yourself. You're not. And then you'll start seeing some of the foolish things maybe you said and some of the foolish things you did. Then you'll start seeing, but it's true, Lord. I came into this time of prayer thinking I was an angel and thinking this person was the devil, but I've come to the conclusion we're just brothers. And we're the same, and we make our mistakes. And that it's your divine desire in heavenly places for us to be brethren again. But we can be like the prodigal son, the older son. And we can be outside and we come and we hear now there's the fatted calf and the feasting going on. And I say, what's going on? We call the servant and say, what's going on in there? Your brother's come back, your younger brother. That young man, he took the inheritance, he waited on harlots, he squandered all the inheritance. And you refuse to go in. And then what happens? The father comes out and starts speaking to you and says, son, it's right for us to rejoice. Because your son, your brother, he was lost, but now he's found. Amen. He was dead, but he's now alive. Amen. And Jesus says there's rejoicing among the angels of heaven when there's that kind of a reconciliation. Friends, but it needs the inward man. Because the outward man's going to have plenty of reasons why he's not happy with that kind of an outcome. But if you get yourself in a divine harmony, you'll find there's a deep in God, and he's trying to transfer that deep to us so that we feel about the situation the way that he feels about that situation. And that's how the prophet says that. He says, let God go talking to you. And you'll see maybe what that man's been through. The devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. So the devil's taken advantage of a person's moment of weakness or a person in the valley, and the devil's come and spoken to somebody's mind and caused a person to react in a certain kind of a way. And friends, is it hard for us to condemn someone like that? It shouldn't be, because you and I have been there many times. We've been in our time of trial. We've been in the time when we weren't in the spirit and the devil came and twisted us up about something. And God was long-suffering and had grace, and God ministered us back into the right condition once again. He says, though he's absolutely wrong, before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. You'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to earth again, you'll go over to that brother and shake his hand. Because you know what he's been through. You can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. I don't believe it. No, sir. It's just allowing the inward man to express himself. It's just saying, Father, I want your name to be sanctified. It's not a compromise we're speaking about, friends. We're not speaking about compromise. We're speaking about dealing with things in the right spirit. About going about things from the right foundation. Maybe there has to be discipline. Yes, there has to be correction. There's different things need to be resolved. You don't brush those things under the carpet. But like we said on Wednesday, before you go and deal with the symptoms or the attributes, deal with the root first. Deal with the main problem first. Get yourself out the way. Then go and deal with those things and see how God will bless them. So let's come to a time of prayer, friends. The prophet says Jesus, he needed to stay in prayer. To stay in fellowship with the Spirit that's in him. And I really believe that, friends. When you find two people cannot find a harmony with each other, I don't really think that it's a wise thing for those people always to be pointing at the other person. I think the first thing we need to go, like Brother Max sang the song on Wednesday, search me, O Lord. Try me, Lord. Search me. See if there be any unclean thing in me. Deal with me first, Lord. Bring me to that situation that I'm in your hands. And then use me, Lord. Let me be a true branch on the vine. Let me bring forth the fruits that you desire to bring forth at this time. Let me express what is in you. Let the deep that is in you, the burden of the Lord, come upon me, Lord, as I get myself out the way. And let me express what you desire me to express. And friends, what a blessing it'll be to you, and what a blessing it'll be to the body, what a blessing it'll be to the kingdom, and what a witness that it is to those that are looking on. Let's stand, friends. Let's come to a time of prayer before the Lord as we just meditate upon those things. Let's sing that song. If somebody could lead us in song. Let's sing a song there before the Lord, a slow one, just to humble ourselves. And let's put ourselves before the Lord at the end of this day. We do appreciate everybody who's participated today. May the Lord bless everybody for their efforts. No. Let's sing that song, the one we spoke of before. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's sing it real slow, Rachel.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Yes, to wait.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, till in your own good time, you will answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Yes, to wait.
Teach me, Lord, to wait.
While hearts are aflame, help me humble my pride. Call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Help me be on this earth what you want me to be.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that
wait upon the Lord
shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Let's sing one more song. We come to a time of prayer. Let's sing that song. Sweet hour of prayer. There's one verse I really love in that song. It says, sweet hour of prayer. What does it say? The one about how oft, if you go a little bit, there, that one there. It says, in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. Let's sing the song. Let's come and put ourselves before the Lord. Could help her, John.
Hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and of his care the tempter's nails by thy return sweet hour of prayer, thy winds shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me sing his face, leave his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour, oh prayer, the joy I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desire for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the faith. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait on his sweet hour.
I do believe everybody has had a time of prayer today, putting themselves before the Lord. Let's finish off the day by just coming and bringing our souls into the presence of the Lord and saying, Father, I want to sanctify your name. I want to glorify your name in my response, in my life, in my decisions, in my behavior, Lord. I want your attributes to be made known. I want to give preeminence, Lord, to the inward man. So I'm coming to lay myself in your presence. Lord, let the virtue from heaven come, Lord, and Lord, bathe over my soul, Lord. Come and energize the seed that's in me. Let it express itself. Let me be like Aaron's rod laying in the presence of the Lord, that, Lord, I may blossom and bud and bring forth fruit. Whatever you desire, let's come and put ourselves before the Lord. Let's pray for ourselves as a church. Let's pray for them that haven't managed to make it upon this day. Let's just pray for the Lord's grace, that his will may be done in these days that lay before. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Father, grateful for a sweet hour of prayer. Grateful, Lord, for opportunity. Grateful for occasion, Lord. Just grateful for a chance.
Father, you give us grace, Lord. You give us the very mercy, Lord, that we have need, Lord, even at this time, Savior God. Shepherd us now, Lord, Savior God, and you, Lord, Savior.
Friends, let's just sing that song, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. The song says, my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Is there no better place to be, since when you put your soul right at the feet of Jesus? You know, if you're sitting at somebody's feet, what it means? The prophet says the feet speak about humility. You know, you're submitting yourself. You're saying it, you're my master. I'm your disciple. You're sitting at the feet of Gamaliel like Paul. Don't you just want to sit at the feet of Jesus? Let him be the master and instruct you in the way that you should govern your things. That's when your rest is complete, when you sit at his feet.
Sweep over my soul,
sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing one more breath. If you have a song for us, one more breath. It's slowly, yeah?
Clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
It says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, remember when you were young in the Lord? Remember the Lord says in Jeremiah, I think it is, says, I remember the kindness of your youth and the love of your espousals before you were sown. Remember when you were young in the Lord, you would never think of speaking against somebody. Remember, when you first came to the Lord and then the Lord revealed himself and the Lord came and brought you into the message and you met the saints, friends, you thought you were among angels. He said, I've never met a people like this. And what attracted so many people to the message was the love of the brethren. Like in the Bible when it says, behold how they love one another. But then you find other things want to come and other influences and scars and misunderstandings and all these kind of things. Friends, on a regular basis, we need to have a house cleaning time. We need to go and take those things into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to let these things accumulate inside of my life. Because they're taking away the freshness, they're taking away the what I had in the days of my youth. And you've got to say to the Lord, because the Lord is Jehovah Rapha, He's the healer. He's the healer of your soul. And you've got to say, Lord, take me back to the joy that I had. Take me back to the simplicity that I once had. Take me back to that sincerity. Take me back to that walk, that humble walk where I was so careful the way that I trod. I was so particular in where I went and what I listened to and who I spoke to and what I said. Oh, friends, that was a blessed time. And that's why Christ was so real to you. And that's why you brought forth such fruits in those kind of days because of that kind of an atmosphere. Let's sing that once now without the instruments. Let's sing that song again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Saints, just requesting prayer. I have to work tomorrow. There's been a bit of a misfortune at work. They turned off the power in our area. I spoke to Brother Wilmer about it on Wednesday because it was planned for Friday night coming into today. They turned the power off where I work. The NIE people doing maintenance. So I had to go into work a bit this morning, power everything back up again, and things didn't power up properly. So I got an engineer trying to connect in remotely this afternoon, try to sort it out. And just on the way down, I thought maybe it had been fixed. The man texts me to say, it hasn't been fixed. You're going to have to let us into the place tomorrow. So I'm going to have to go to work tomorrow in the morning and let the engineers in and let it be sorted out. So I'd spoken to Brother Max the other day because it's happened to us once before when we shut everything down. And I asked Brother Max to be ready for the service tomorrow. So please pray for Brother Max. He'll take the service tomorrow. Pray for us that you may quickly hit this nail on the head tomorrow, because I've never had to go into work on a Sunday before. I don't like the idea. But I really do just pray that the Lord will just make it quick and painless, that it may just be sorted out. But let's pray for Brother Max as well. He's heading to Italy for this week, for 2 weeks. So may the Lord be with him on his journey as well. In fact, we'll ask Brother Max, if you don't mind, to come to close for us in a word of prayer. Amen. And God bless everybody for coming. May the Lord grant traveling mercies to us all as we go.
Oh Lord, how we like to be like you.
Yes, Lord.
Shall we all sing that song, to be like Jesus?
Yes.
to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like Jesus. On earth I long. Oh, to be like you. Life journey from end to glory. I only ask to be like him. Let's sing it once again, to be like him. Oh, to be like Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, whom can we? Whom should we be?
Like Jesus.
Lord, there is no other one that we would like to be like you, Jesus Christ. Even Lord Jesus, as we are going through this journey, we know we are meeting a lot of trials here and there, oh God. But Lord, you came down, O Lord Jesus, to show us the way, O God. And so, Lord,
from
earth here to glory, Lord, oh, we only like to be like you, O Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. To
be like
him. Of the truth, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We would like to be like you, God.
Yes, Lord.
We want to walk like you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We want to speak like you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We want to do everything like you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Father, you came here, O Lord, to lay that foundation for us.
Yes, Lord.
To show us the way, O God.
Amen.
Oh, how to live, O Lord Jesus, amongst even our brethren, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we saw how, Lord, they subjected you to pains.
Yes, Lord.
But yet you said, Lord, Father, forgive them.
Amen, yes.
Lord. Oh, that kind of life, oh Lord Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
We want to be like you, oh God.
Amen.
Oh, we want to be like the same spirit that Joseph had.
Amen.
That he had every authority. Lord.
Yes.
Every power in his hands.
Hallelujah.
To claim vengeance upon his brethren.
Yes, Lord.
But yet, Lord, he forgave them.
Amen.
Lord, that spirit we are looking for, oh God.
Hallelujah.
The Lord Jesus, we can bear with one another.
Amen.
That we can go all the way with one another.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
The Lord Jesus, our life be lost in you, oh God. Father, even as we stand before you as a church, oh God. We want that harmony, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We want unity, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Father, above all, we want Lord. Love to prevail, oh God.
Hallelujah, yes, Lord.
Well, Lord, we see one another, we see Christ, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Father, help us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We want to be that church, oh God.
Yes.
That you said you present to yourself.
Amen.
Without blemish.
Yes, Lord.
Without spot.
Yes.
Without wrinkle.
Amen.
A holy church, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
that is what we are praying,
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
That, Lord,
yes,
we want that kind of humility in our
Amen.
Lives.
Yes, Lord.
Because we know humility is power.
Yes.
Father, humble us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In every situation, Lord,
yes.
Let us humble ourselves,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
And even, Father, if any our brothers have wronged us, Lord,
Amen.
Let us go the distance with them.
Yes.
Let us put ourselves in their shoes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let us see ourselves like them, O God.
Amen.
And Father, Lord, take away condemnation from our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that, Lord, we never condemn one another.
Yes.
But Lord, we carry one another, O God, into your prayers, Lord.
Yes.
Father, let us put on the priesthood garment.
Amen.
That wherever, Lord Jesus, we'll always carry our brethren to your side, to your presence, Lord.
Lord.
Father, we thank you for the message, Lord.
Amen.
The message has come at this time that we need it, Lord. So much, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father, to
help us, Father.
Expose the enemy.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Even this hour, Lord,
We want to commit ourselves once again, Lord, into
Praise
your hands.
Lord. Yes.
As we travel to our various homes and closest, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we want to still carry this word along, God.
Amen. Yes. Lord.
Father, we know the Lord Jesus. You made us the branches, Lord.
Amen.
To bear the fruits.
Amen.
And we know as much as we bear fruits, we glorify your name, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Father, let the fruits of the vine, O Lord, be seen in us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, we thank you. We bless you. Take us, Lord Jesus, in our journeys.
Please,
we
Lord.
We ask for journey mercies, Lord.
Amen.
Even as we pray for our pastor.
Please, Lord.
Oh, Lord, it's never like God to be not amongst us tomorrow.
Amen.
But yet, Lord, the situation, oh, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Has come this way, Lord. But, Father, we commit it to your hands, Lord.
Please, Lord.
That tomorrow, Lord Jesus, it will be a glorious day for all the
yes.
church, God.
Hallelujah.
That, Lord Jesus, we will see your mighty hands wherever we are.
Amen.
Whether we are at a working place, whether we
Hallelujah.
Are in the church here,
yes,
O God.
Lord.
Father, all that we want to see is you, Christ Jesus,
yes, Lord.
In our lives, Lord.
Amen.
So, Father, we commit ourselves to your hands, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Create a clean heart in us.
Amen.
Lord, we live in unity, in
Amen.
Harmony.
Yes, Lord.
We live
yes,
as
Lord.
One,
yes,
O God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, O God, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brad. God bless. Just because I won't be in tomorrow, just to announce, we'll have an officers' meeting Friday evening, 7 o'clock if, for the officers, if you could just let it be known. So no service Friday, it'll be officers' meeting. But prayer meeting as normal on Wednesday. Brother Max is leaving us now in the saddle for the next 2 weeks to take all the services. So you pray for me as well. Sometimes it's not easy with work, friends. Ew. To work and then to do the things, it really does weigh you down. So I'd really ask for special prayer at this time. You know, the Lord is very gracious. He always draws near to the soul. But the outward man, he feels it. So I'm really requesting your prayers as well at this time. Let's sing that song as we dismiss. Holy words, long preserved. For this life in this world. Friends, we don't want those words to be preserved and we don't live those words. I want to get in the spirit of the holy words and I desire those holy words to express themselves in and through me, and I'm sure you're the same as me. And God bless you as we go.
Long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's alarm. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go in this world, wherever we go. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long reserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Holy and ancient words impart ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, holy ancient words impart.